Hey, this is Jake the Snake Roberts, and you're listening to Wolfie D, Live and in Color.
Hey, this is Jimmy Street, host of the Live and in Color with Wolfie D podcast. Hear the life and times of professional wrestler Wolfie D, from his time in the territories with PG-13 to his time in WWE, ECW, WCW, TNA, and more. Nothing is off limits, and nothing will be held back. Thanks again for tuning in. Here he is, Wolfie D.
All right, folks, welcome, welcome, welcome to Live and in Color, Wolfie D, and my man, Jimmy, across the street. Jimmy, I'm under the weather today, and we're going to see how good your editing is, because I'll probably cough and sniff 1,000 times during this show, and if the people don't hear it, that means Jimmy is a great editor.
Well, I'm ready for it. Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, so, man. Feel as sick as you want, Wolfie D. We're good.
No, I don't want to feel this way.
Yeah, I know. I get it. Was it because you've been out in the air taking that ring down with the skeletons in it?
Yeah, I don't know what it was, man. I think it's the damn kids, because they each one of them had a little crud this week. And
yeah.
And I jinxed myself telling Michelle, I said, man, y'all stay sick. I said I've been with you 3.5 years. I said, I've been sick once, I think.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, this morning, I'm all...
Yeah, it sucks, man. I hate that feeling. You know, it's like I dread getting sick. It's just that thing that I'm not a very nice guy when I'm sick. I'm kind of grumpy, you know? So anyway, well, I was just curious if maybe you got sick taking that ring down, because you're what? You're 49, right?
49? Yes, sir.
And then you started wrestling, what, around like 15, 16, something like that?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a little over, well, hold on. That's my math ain't mathing. But yeah, that's a good while. And so that ring that was in your front yard, if the listeners have been keeping score with our conversations, was the very first ring you've taken down ever.
All by myself.
So you had to take it down by yourself. Yeah. And that was the payback for all the times that you skipped out.
It about killed me. I had to take many, many breaks, and, you know, the old back and hip and all that. So. But I did it.
Paying for it now, man. Yeah. But, yeah. Well, until next year. So.
Got top 10, and we went back and forth on this, on what we was going to call this show. Yeah. Top 10 Oh My God moments.
Yeah, I lay it. Yeah, I think that's it. I was just, whatever you just said right there is what we're calling it, because
I guess so.
It's chiseled in stone.
Yeah, man. So, in other words, the way we talked about this, and for the listeners, this is kind of the way we're going to do it, is just, for me, it was stuff that actually made me go, wow, or, you know, popped me in some sort of way.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is going to be stuff from before I got in the wrestling business, because after I get in, you know, it's a lot harder to pop you anyway.
Right. Of course. Yeah. There is that level of that, right? I mean, that's a real thing, you know, because it just, like, the new wears off almost. It's kind of like, it's not like you don't still love the business, but it's in a different love. It's a different love. It's kind of like when you knew somebody and you were longtime friends with them, you have love for them, but then also the love you have for your spouse. It's kind of a different kind of thing, but I don't know where I'm going.
After I got in the wrestling business, I've been around so many over the top, just personalities, you know, funny dudes, man. So, like, I don't want to say that there's not other funny people outside of wrestling, but it's harder to make me laugh.
Sure. I believe that. Oh, totally. I mean, it's got to be, man. You drove around with Jamie for 20 years. You know what I'm saying? So. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, dude, I'm sure you were constantly laughing, and I'm sure he was too. So anyway, I think that's the good way to say it. So just for the listener, it's coming from like a personal, oh my God, but just for the idea of the name of the show, we're just going to call it top 10 Oh My God moments, and you'll get the point. It could be holy shit. It could be holy cow. It could be whatever you like to hear, but it's something shocking, something that popped us, something that was crazy. Right. And anything after that. But I just, you know, I'm interested, because I think these are not going to be very many doubles, you know. So
I we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see. I don't like it when it gets like that. But we think a lot alike on wrestling stuff. You know?
We do. Yeah.
So, all right.
You're my, you know, so like I have Kenny Steele, who was my Qui-Gon Jinn. Then I kind of have Shane Morton, who was my Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my Yoda.
Why the fuck I gotta be Yoda?
Because he was the ultimate master, dude.
Yeah, come on, little bitty green guy. Come
on. Well, okay, you can be whoever you want. Darth Vader, then.
Yeah, I'll take that one. I'll be Anakin.
Anakin, all right.
All right, well, let's take a break and let's come back and let's start this top 10.
All right, sounds good. We'll be right back
with Anakin Skywalker
after these messages.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey folks, to get your official Live It in Color with Wolfie D merchandise, go to prowrestlingtees.com/livewolfied. Check it out.
If you're listening to Live It in Color with Wolfie D on Apple Podcast and like what you're hearing, go ahead and leave a 5-star rating. And while you're at it, write a review. Tell us what you liked. Tell us what you'd like to hear in the future. It's very important to us and always appreciated. Thanks again.
All right, we are back. Top 10 oh my God moments. Personal oh my God moments.
Yes.
Jimmy, as usual, I'll start it out with my number 10.
Okay.
And go up to 5. We'll take a break and we'll come back and do our top 5.
Love it.
All right. So, and man, let me say this. The more I thought on this, I kept thinking, you know, scratch one off. No, that one's better than this one. There's so many. There's so mm-hmm. many. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
There really is, if you really think about it. Shit that was like good. But, all right. So, my number 10, and this is kind of a funny one to start it with, because I was kind of saying that most of this stuff is going to be before I got into the wrestling business, because I wasn't watching live probably on some of the stuff that happened in the time that I was in the business.
Yeah.
I just didn't. But I was actually watching this live and I thought it was cool. Brock Lesnar flipping the ring upside down with the tractor last year, I think it was.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I thought that was very creative and cool.
Yeah. Yeah. That was different, man. That was almost like something Stone Cold would have done. You know what
exactly.
I mean? Exactly. And again, you know, that's the one thing I was going to say is during your heyday where you were literally, you and Jamie and a couple other guys were keeping Memphis afloat. It's the last territory. You guys were wrestling whenever Raw and Nitro were on, you know?
Yeah.
So it was not like you were getting to watch all that. So, yeah, dude, that's definitely, I would say, one of the most surprising moments in the past year or two, for sure. Because they just don't seem to do as, or maybe it just doesn't pop us like it used to, you know?
But that was one that I was watching, and when it happened, I was like, oh, that's cool, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he was doing anything he could to beat Roman Reigns, and you know, I don't know if anybody, Jesus gonna come back and can't beat Roman Reigns, you know? So, anyway, yeah. But that's a good moment. I don't know, you know, that's that, nothing more I can say really other than I thought it was a very Stone Cold like moment, which yeah. I liked that personality turn of Brock, you know?
Yes. Yeah. It was cool.
Yeah. There's a funny video out there. It's actually, you can see it sometimes on Facebook Reels and Instagram and stuff. There's this guy, Brock, selling over in the corner, and the ring is basically turned up almost to, like, I don't know, however many degree angle there.
Yeah.
And he's leaning over selling like he's about to, after the matches, and Roman Reigns music is playing, and there's this redneck fan yelling at Brock, "Come on, Brock. You ain't hurt. Rub some dirt on it." And he actually pops Brock, and Brock looks at him and laughs and then starts selling again. And it's just like, it's pretty funny. "You ain't hurt. Put some dirt on it," you know?
Anyway. Some dirt on it.
So my number 10 is probably going to surprise everyone, and only because I'm putting it number 10. And really, it's because it was a little bit before my time as a wrestling fan, and it's something that obviously was replayed over and over. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of before, I was like probably 2 or 3 years old when it happened. So I didn't get to catch it, you know, live. I know a lot of wrestlers claim that it was the reason. Bully Ray, Tommy Dreamer, Mick Foley, they all kind of claim it was the reason that they got into wrestling and wanted to be a wrestler. But this one is Jimmy Snuka diving off the top of the cage.
And
I'm disrespecting that moment by putting it at number 10. But I promise you, I do not mean it disrespectfully. It's just, it was something prior to my in-ring knowledge, and then obviously, you know, watching the WWF, I've seen it over and over again, and it is an amazing moment, and I think it's supremely original for its time, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't remember anybody doing that before it, and it could have been done before it, and yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and tell you mine's way up on the list there. I have that moment a lot further up.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I just remember that, seeing him do that was just incredibly awesome. I had, you know, not seen anything like that before. And, you know, Morocco sold it. He was injured, you know, he didn't pop up. I know that jumping off the top of the cage now is nothing. That would be a fucking kick out at 2, probably.
Right, right. But,
you know, back then he was hurt and it was like, holy shit.
He looked,
I never took it from him, but he looked pretty stiff on his flashes anyway. So,
oh man, he looks super stiff with them. I'm coming in hot, brother.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, that probably had to affect his older days too, because his knees and elbows probably hurt constantly. But I mean, when you, I mean, okay, so like, have you ever, obviously you have, but somebody does the splash on you and they're very light and then they're very stiff with it. Can you, do you name, can you name like experiences like that to where somebody was real stiff with it?
I mean, I've been splashed by Mabel.
Yeah, oh man. Oh my gosh.
And honestly, dude, I think I told you this before. He gave me a belly to belly one time.
Yeah.
Before, I was thinking, oh, this is going to suck. But it was, he was like a big old pillow, like a big water bed or some shit. It wasn't that bad.
Well, you know what's funny is that was the first story I used on our best of for the Halloween show. Because, you know, I know he played Viscera, even though he was probably like Mabel or King Mabel at that time. Right. You know, he actually turned into one of the Undertaker's minions and he was Viscera and stuff. So I started it off with that story because he played, ended up playing like a dark character, so I thought I would make that the start, and it was very early on, so they haven't heard it in a long time, but then they heard it again and now they've heard it even more. But I like that you brought that up, because you're just reiterating the fact that that man, I mean, it might have seemed almost like, you know, when Ronnie was talking about
bad, or he got a bad rap, man, for hurting people. But I mean, I'm not saying that he didn't, but I'm just saying anytime I ever worked with him, he was light as a feather.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I mean, for a 500-pound man, he was like, you know what I mean?
Sure, yeah, I mean, exactly. Yeah.
He smashed, you know, give the splash in the corner to me and Jamie, and, you know, that felt like my damn spine went through my chest. But, you know, he never hurt me.
I always wondered why he didn't get over more. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think he got a great run. I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying, like,
yeah.
I feel like they could have almost used him in a sense, almost like an Andre the Giant-like character, to where
I think it's because he was hurting people and people were bitching.
Yeah, that's probably it. Because, I mean, it was like Lex Luger had to slam Yokozuna. Why didn't John Cena have to slam, you know, or whoever was active at that time? So, anyway, that's a good one. I like it.
Well, I know who didn't slam him. It was me.
I was going to say, did you press slam him like Animal did? That's funny.
All right. So we're at my number 9.
Yes.
I debated with this one whether I was going to move it up a little bit. Now, if I remember correctly, this is the first time. I don't know if it's the first table spot ever, but it's the first table spot I ever saw. And 1984. Randy Savage pile drives Ricky Morton at the Mid-South Coliseum through a table. And man, I just watched it because I wanted to make sure because I actually thought it was Lawler for a minute.
Gotcha.
So I looked it up. Gordon Sully does the it's like a little news thing they were doing or something. And, yeah. You know, even though it happened in Memphis, you know, Gordon Sully was reporting it that what happened. And, you know, of course, it's, you know, a move is outlawed, especially it causes a lot of problems in the axis vertebrae. And the pile driver, you know, was a banned move in Memphis. And, you know, and then he puts him through the table. That was the first table break I ever saw.
That, and you know what? That could be one of the earlier ones, because if you think about it, that really was not popular. The first one, heck, I remember, and I know this is crazy to say, was the Terry Funk and Ric Flair, you know, and where he pile-drived Ric through the table, and the table didn't even break. They kind of like fall backwards.
Wasn't Flair like holding on to the edge of the ring or something weird?
Yeah, it was really weird. Or he was like holding himself up on the table. Like standing on his hands.
Right.
And it's kind of horrible, but it stuck with me, you know. But that's a great moment. And honestly, that could only come from a longtime fan of Memphis that knows their stuff, you know, because that's cool, man. And two legends, you know, that's so good. Yeah. I like that.
The people, you got, you know, the ultimate babyface, Ricky Morton, young guy, you know, you got crazy Randy Savage. And like when, you know, I explained the pop that it got when they hung me out of the balcony of the screens and stuff. You hear that on this too. He gets him up on the table and holds him there for a second. There you can hear all the chicks screaming and stuff.
Yeah.
Different kind of pop,
but a good one. You know, it's funny too, is like the idea that Gordon's covering it as a news item, you know, which just, he's like the Walter Cronkite of wrestling, you know?
The axis vertebrae.
I love that. So, all right, my number nine, and this week it's funny that you had Brock Lesnar as your number 10, because my number nine is Brock Lesnar as well, but it is a different, oh my God, moment. So I remember, I don't remember where I was living, but I remember I bought this pay-per-view for WrestleMania 19, and it was Brock Lesnar versus Kurt Angle. It was like the shooter versus the up-and-coming shooter, okay? Mm. And Brock Lesnar had been pushing his way up the roster and you know, doing his thing, and he does a shooting star press. And he botches it and lands directly on his head.
Yeah.
And that, to me, was the stiffest looking horror. I mean, it looked horrible. And then he finishes the match. But that moment, to me, I can't imagine that weighing what I weigh, much less what he weighed, you know. And
I mean, impressive that he could even do that.
Yeah. Did he do that at OVW? Do you remember?
I don't ever remember seeing it.
Okay.
I don't remember seeing it.
Well, yeah, because apparently he did it, and then they made him stop doing it. He didn't want to use that kind of a spot in his matches anymore. But anyway, yeah. Brutal.
And, you know, I had something similar on here. I mean, you can see this on the internet all the time now. Dudes screwing it up. Indie level. But I was actually going to put, and it's not on my list, but I was actually going to put Sid breaking his leg on WCW, because that was gnarly. But I just thought, I did say, oh my God, and ooh, gross, and all that shit. But,
seriously. Know, I can't imagine the pain he was going through, too, man. I mean, golly, man, that was brutal. I didn't even think about that one as an oh my God moment, but yeah, that's a definite horrible oh my God moment. That one can be an honorable mention or something.
Yeah, it's definitely an honorable mention. But number nine was Randy Savage, Paul Jerome, Ricky Morton through the table. I wish somebody out there knew, was that the first table break, you know?
Yeah, it's a great point. I'm sure it's out there somewhere. Dave Milliken or somebody would know. Yeah, we'll have to find that out. Okay, so number eight, Wolfie D.
Number eight, another thing that involves a table, though it didn't break. Joe LeDuc throws Jerry Lawler from the ring over onto the announce table, and the way Lawler hit that table was pretty brutal, but it stands out. And what goes along to, when I think of that, I automatically think of that interview where he takes the axe and he cuts his forearm.
Yes, dude. Oh man, that's forever etched in my mind. Yeah,
that press slam throw onto the table. That's my number eight.
That's it. I mean, dude, it shows you one more time how inventive Memphis was, you know, and how original they were on things. And I love that. Well, this one's kind of similar to that, actually, but in a totally different way. And actually, we've talked about it to other people recently, or at least you have. You know, you talked about it with White Boy last week on the show. And this one is New Jack throwing Vic Grimes off the scaffold. And
yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
I've also got that one on my list. And I debated if I wanted to put it on my list because it was mean. It was hateful. I mean, it's like he tried to kill a guy. Now, at the same time, I put icy hot in a guy's eyes. That was pretty mean and hateful. But it's not to that level, literally.
Right, exactly.
On top of the scaffold. And he's tasing the dude. First shoot, he's tasing him before he hums him off. I mean, that was the closest thing to the Owen Hart the falling. I mean, seriously,
right.
Almost like that, man. I could have killed that dude.
Right, exactly. So you're already being tased, so you know that certain level of your brain is not there to think about being protected of yourself.
Yeah.
And you're more like in escape or fight or flight, and then out of the taser, you then end up, you know, however many stories down. And this scaffold was much different, it seemed, than the, you know, classic Knight of the Skywalker scaffold.
Right.
That, you know, they all kind of casually went down, and, you know, the promise of the Midnight Express falling off that like pumpkins and watermelons, you know, that didn't happen. So, but anyway, you're right. It was mean.
A nasty bump on that.
Yeah, he did, because Big Bubba didn't catch him, man. That's just Ray Trailer. What's up, buddy? But anyway, So anyway, long story short, New Jack throwing Vic Grimes. Yes, there is a level of maliciousness in that.
That is
totally different than a normal, oh my God moment. You know?
Yeah. But yeah, it's definitely on my list. It's actually way up there. That was crazy. All right. My number seven is Jake the Snake and the Cobra biting Randy Savage's arm. Now,
we
all know that I don't like snakes. We already talked about this.
Yes.
Snakes. Yeah. And I don't give a shit if it was devenomed or nothing. That's fucking insane, man, to me.
Yeah, I know.
And that actually made me go, oh my God.
Yeah, no kidding. Because you're like, oh my God, Randy is about to die. You know, but you know what's funny?
You kind of knew, you knew that it wasn't. It had to be summed up with it, but it was still gnawing the fuck out of his arm.
Right, it was gnawing him. And you know what's funny is apparently in the back. Have you heard the full story about this?
Yeah, but he wanted. Jake says Randy wanted him to take the bite first.
He was like, show me it's not venomous. And he was like, oh, I promise you, here's the snake handler. He'll tell you. Oh, yeah. No, show me it's not venomous. And he made it. And, you know, the thing is Jake, you know, he used so many different snakes out there in the world. And he did that angle again in the coal miner's glove match where actually he was trying to get this cobra to bite, you know, Sting, but he actually bit Jake on the face in that Halloween Havoc coal miner's glove match. But anyway,
I do not recall that.
But. Yeah, he was bit Jake on the face and he was selling it. But you know, the thing is about a viper like that, you have to kind of hold it there because they don't want to bite and stay. You know, it's not like they're trying to eat you necessarily. They're just trying to get you away and hurt, you know, any way they can. But anyway, dude, that was a definite oh my God moment. And I'm kind of embarrassed that I didn't have that on my list because I remember that shocking me too, for sure. Yeah. So, yeah. So my number seven seems so light compared to what, but it shows kind of where we are in mindset, you know. So my number seven is, and I thought this was a great oh my God moment until you said the Cobra thing, Shawn Michaels super kicking Marty Jannetty through the barbershop window, because I mean, it was shocking. You know, you thought, okay, they've had a little tiff, but they're all good. They want to be back together. They're all good. And then, bam, super kick. And honestly, I know Shawn would use that kick in matches, but honestly, I think that was kind of really the main big start of that, other than Chris Adams, of course.
Yeah.
But on a main stage, he could be probably just as responsible for the super kick being a high spot now. But to go through the window, because I didn't know that that was a sugar glass window at the time. And, you know, you didn't know that stuff existed. And Just the idea.
That was a very memorable moment. Everybody remembers that. I don't know. I guess maybe I wasn't invested in the Rockers is why I don't have that on my list.
Gotcha. You know, I understand. No, I get it.
It wasn't like, because actually, I knew they were good or whatever, but it came from, you know, I felt like that's Rock and Roll Express, man. Come on.
Exactly. No, you're right. And I agree with that 100%. Just like Demolition to me. I never gave them the full respect.
Exactly.
Because they were the Road Warrior Light. But the Rockers, it was like something still that you know, because like when you end up watching WWF, because I think in 88, the Rock and Roll Express were kind of out of Crockett at that time, and they had gone to work in the AWA some, and they had worked in Memphis some, and I mean, they worked all around, but I remember, you know, that I just don't remember seeing them as much in 88, and I could be wrong out there, but anyway, the Rockers kind of became a favorite tag team of me and my brother, and boom, he kicks him through the glass. It was pretty, pretty cool, so.
Yeah. That's a good one. That's a good one. All right. Number six for me is Eddie Gilbert running over Jerry Lawler with the car in the parking lot of Channel 5.
Yes. Yes.
You know, Lawler used to do all those kind of crazy bumps like that, but, you know, kind of before his time on some shit.
Always been, yeah.
And, man, that looked good.
It did. Like, has he ever told you the element of that? Because that was one thing I wish we could have talked to him about when we had him on the show. We didn't have him for long, and, you know.
I don't know what else, you know. Obviously, he tried to get up on the hood and, you know, roll off or whatever. But I don't know how you can – I mean, you can kind of know what you're doing there, but so that's almost one of them things. You just kind of got to take it and hope it wasn't going too fast.
Right. Right.
Because I know you've seen it, the dudes that some guys wrestling in their backyard for real. There's no ring or nothing. And the guy gets hit by a car. Oh my God.
I know.
Yeah. I know. The listeners, go check it out. I don't know what it's called, but two goofs in a car, I think. I don't know.
Yeah. Just look that up and you'll find it. But dude, you will not see Eddie Gilbert and Jerry Lawler if you look that up, I promise, because I think you're exactly right. I think it's just, I've got to take this. Let's just go. Hopefully you're not going 50 mile an hour, you know? Right. And, you know, it's also too kind of shows you like, because, you know, everybody I think should understand and knows that Eddie looked up to Lawler, you know, obviously, and probably thought of him as somewhat of a hero to him and for sure took something from his career, you know, as a style. And if you think about it, you know, that's almost like I'm going to hit the guy that I look up to one of the most, and boom, here it is, you know. So it's almost like you hitting Gypsy Joe with a car, but he would have just got up and said, harder, you know.
Yeah.
Or hit you hitting Chris Champion with a car, you know? I mean, golly. But,
A very, oh my God, memorable moment.
And you know what? That is an underrated moment, even today. Even though I know I've been running in the Memphis circles now, being on this show with you and knowing all the people in Nashville and things like that, you know, I'm becoming an adoptee of Memphis. But when it comes down to it, man, I think that moment is not as big as it should be. And even though it is big to the right people, it's just not as big. It should be. They should play that randomly on WWE, even though Larry Burton or somebody owns the rights to that. But anyway. Yeah, great stuff, man. So my number six is, again, seems like kindergarten compared to the high school that you just talked about. But this was an oh my God moment up until this point. This would have never been heard of. So it was a episode 1987. Andre is on Piper's Pit. For some reason, Bobby Heenan's standing beside him. And this is kind of a two-parter, okay?
Yeah.
Bobby Heenan's standing beside him, and that doesn't make any sense. And so Andre, I want to talk to Hulk Hogan, you know? And Hogan comes out, rips his shirt off. I remember rips his necklace. I remember he cut his chest a little bit, which only added to the shock of it. Yeah. His considered best friend just turned on Hulk Hogan. And then that led into probably the main point of this oh my God moment, Hogan slamming Andre, which, dude, blew my mind at the time. You know,
And even though on my list as well.
Yeah, sorry.
I didn't really put the beginning, you know, the interview and all that. Mine is just more the slam. Now, okay, internet, YouTube, all that. We know that that was not the first time that Andre had been slammed.
Right. And
I thought it was. I'm sorry, when I was a kid.
We all did.
And you legit popped for that. And now you see, you know, and it was, even the bump looked a little bit awkward. I mean, he spun for him really good, but it still looked a little weird. So it looked like Hogan really picked him up and slammed him to me. Now you watch some old stuff of Andre. I didn't know that motherfucker could move like that. Man, there's some old stuff of him in Japan and shit. Bumping, getting up, taking a fucking drop kick and fucking spilling over the top rope from the drop kick. I mean, he could move.
Doing it. Yeah. We really got to know slower Andre, you know.
Yeah. Yeah,
the Andre really, I mean, honestly, the first time I remember seeing Andre is him with the big fro and he's smiling and he's a nice guy. But I don't really remember super skinny Andre or skinnier Andre. I don't, that one in the 70s, man, where he's, like you said, he's bumping, feeding, running, doing everything. I mean, I think if you haven't seen that, and I know most of our listeners probably have, go back and watch some young Andre. That's some crazy stuff, man. So, but you know, that would have been totally different. That match, that slam, everything would have been totally different, but it did look like Hogan basically muscled him up there, and at least to make it look like a slam, because it didn't look like Andre gave him much, even though he probably gave him all he could, you know, but yeah. What a never happen again kind of guy he is. Because even though they have that Omos guy and Paul White, none of them have the element that Andre had. None of them are, oh my God. I mean, Andre could really be on this, you know, like, oh my God, you know. And then we heard Dirty White Boy talking about him, how he could bounce the bed and, like, you know, Lynn Denton would bounce up and down. Yeah. Flip the bed over. And yeah. So
without a tractor.
Without a tractor, exactly. Yeah. Well, that was number six. You want to have, how about this, Wolfie D? So this has been Oh My God Moments. How about we catch our breath real quick and we'll come right back after these messages and we'll do the top five. You cool with that?
Let's do it.
All right. We'll be right back after these messages.
Let's take a quick time out and get a word from one of my dope-ass sponsors, and we'll be right back with more Live and in Color with Wolfie D.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey folks, this is Wolfie D here, and if you are looking to buy or sell a home in Tennessee or Southern Kentucky, you're going to want to call my buddy, the rock star realtor, Benji Bowie. And you say, Wolfie, how do I get in touch with this rock star? Well, you can call him directly at 615-390-8216. You can go to his website, BowieHomes.com. That's B-U-I-E Homes.com. Or you can email him at BenBowie34@gmail.com. When you need a home, you need the Rockstar Realtor.
Benji is a member of Exit Realty's Garden Gate team in Gallatin, Tennessee.
All right, we're back, and we're going to do the top five now. And because I went first, I'm going to let you go first on this. So not to mention the fact that you have fucked up my top five, I promise. I've already talked about three of my fucking things that are on here. So I got two left that possibly you haven't talked about.
May make the listener say, oh my God, you know, so yeah, well, my number five,
lets the listeners know we don't work this, man.
We do not. Yeah. Yeah, we are absolutely shooting on this because I even said, hey, man, I'm going to send you a picture. You're like, no, I'm not doing it. Yeah. I want to think of my own. Yeah. So, well, my number five, and probably this one should be number one because I don't even know if really any of my top four should be above this one. But because I don't know that it's because we really didn't see it happen. And it just, you know, the way things went, the part of it is the actual happening of it. Then the part, the other, oh my God, is that they kept going after it happened, but is Owen Hart's death and, you know, him doing the sting out of the rafters and he's the Blue Blazer and he's kind of being like this funny superhero where he's kind of clumsy and stuff. And, you know, it was supposed to be somewhat botched. And the worst part about it was earlier in the night, there was like a spot with blood, I think with Gangrel and Edge or somebody. And anyway, there was blood in the ring and it was on the side of the apron and it looked like that was Owen's blood. And I think that's still kind of like out there as a thing, but I think that has been, you know, disputed and said that's not actually Owen's blood. I have a feeling if that were the case, they would have changed the canvas completely out.
Who knows?
But yeah, anyway, dude, I'm not 100% on the amount of feet that he fell from, but it was enough to kill him. And anytime anybody dies doing this, and to be, as you know, you can die at any moment in the ring, whether you're like, you know, Larry Booker, who dies kind of just because he has a heart attack and slumps over and everybody still thinks it's going, or at the same time, other things. But yeah, this was definitely an oh my God moment for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's that was what year? What year was that?
Oh, man, I want to say, what's that?
97?
I think it was 99.
99?
Yeah.
I guess my point was that it was after I was gone.
Right.
And to be honest with you, I can't imagine being there that night. And just everybody still having to go work. And I mean, because... That's just, it was crazy, man.
Hey, can you imagine being the first match right after that?
Oh, man. That'd be, you know, you just saw last year the Cincinnati Bengals guy that had the heart attack, and he didn't die, but they stopped the game.
The guy from the Bills that happened, DeMar Hamlin or whatever.
Or maybe that's who I was thinking of. Yeah.
And then, you know, he's like, he lived through it, and thank God, but he's like a god to football now, you know, and it's kind of how they treat Owen, and that's a good thing. But just to put this in perspective, Wolfie D, think about it as, let's just say it happened on a show you were on and you were the match right after that. In your mind, would you be able to continue, or show must go on, or in your mind, would you be just totally out of it?
I mean, I guess that would probably depend on too, like, it's one of the boys, period. Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
But then on how close are you to that person? I mean, but still just one of the boys. I don't care if you're best buddies or not. And it's still a, you know, that would be very strange, man. Very strange.
And the strange part is they're talking to Jeff Jarrett in the back. And this is as Owen rolls by and Jeff's got to cut a promo, you know, and dude, that's brutal, you know, brutal. And they were really tight at that time, you know, so.
Yeah. All right. Let's see here. That was your number five. All right. So,
yes, sir.
My number five, we've already talked about it, is Hogan slamming Andre. So, let's see. I'm going to go ahead and go do my number four. How's that?
Go for it. That's all cool. Right.
So, my number four is, the Lawler-Kaufman match.
Yeah.
The back suplex, you know, the pile drive. I've said this too. I watched that so many times, and I thought it was, I'm pretty sure it was a shoot in my mind. You know what I'm saying? It is, but it ain't. Lawler probably just, in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, he threw a stiff one on that fucking comedian fucker. You know what I'm saying?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
For dogging the business, man. And because I don't give a fuck. He did stuff him on that back suplex. Yeah. Now, the fucking pile drivers, you know, his pile drivers always look good, obviously, but
right,
Nowadays, you see a lot of people throwing each other on their heads and not taking care of each other. But that right there was a sick bump, man, especially for a dude that didn't bump.
Right. So,
but yeah, man, that was my, oh my God, generally the whole match. But that right there, I've wondered, you know, if it fucked him up. I really did.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, if you think about it, like, he can take, you know, you can't really stiff someone on a pile driver without almost killing them. You know what I mean? But on that backdrop, I mean, you can definitely stiff them and show them, hey, this is real, you know?
Yeah.
And you can pretty much keep them in somewhat safe shape, you know? Yeah. And it's going to hurt, but it's not going to kill him.
He folded that motherfucker up, man.
He sure did.
Back of his head and tips of his toes were touching the mat.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like a folding chair, man. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so this is a funny thing to talk about real quick, since we had to skip over your five, really, because we talked about so much. But, okay, you know, nowadays, like the Logan Paul, the celebrity that have come in and kind of changed how celebrities are in wrestling, right? How do you feel like Kaufman did for his time in that match as a chicken shit heel, basically? How do you think he did?
What he was supposed to do, the stalling and all that stuff, and then finally getting the headlock, you know. He did what he was supposed to do.
Yeah, and you know, he'd wrestled women up to the, and some of them women were wildcats, man. They were not going to get beaten. And you know, I don't know, were all of those women a work, or were they all,
I don't know, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
Positive.
Yeah, I've never fought a woman, but I've known some women I would not have fought. Let's just say that, you know, I'm not going to fight any woman. Let's just say that I'm not like that. But what I mean by that is, like, there were some of them that would probably claw your eyeballs out, you know, and, you know, anyway, so my number four again. You know, it's so funny. Yours have such a reality element to them, and mine are sometimes kind of funny. But this one, actually, I still don't know if it was a work or if it was a shoot. I think it's always been up in the air. But I think one of the biggest oh my God moments that was part of the business that didn't involve a death but did involve a heart is the Montreal Screwjob. I was deep into my fandom at this point. I was watching every pay-per-view, every Nitro, every Raw, you know, and because we figured out at that point you could watch Raw live and then watch Nitro on the taped, you know, they repeated Nitro, even though in the terms of things, I preferred WCW. Mm-hmm. To get more wrestling, I watched Nitro, Raw live and then Nitro later, mm-hmm. you know, but what's weird about it all is, so you'd never seen such the curtain pulled back of a real life story coming through. And in my thing, I think, come on, Brett, you can't get beat in Canada. I mean, but I also see Brett's side of things too, because I don't know. Who would you say you got along with more? You probably knew Sean more, right? Than
Yeah. But also almost got a fight with him, you know.
Right
I mean, I know
how. So you knew how Sean was at that time.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I mean, if you've got someone that's acting like Sean did at that time, and you've got Brett coming from, you know, second generation superstar, super serious about the business,
legitimately stretch Sean if he wanted to.
Exactly. Really put him in a pretzel. And when it comes down to it, though, I did come out. I was more of a fan of Bret Hart growing up anyway. Mm-hmm. But when it came down to it, though, I did feel bad for Bret, because I felt like they should have just said, hey, look, Bret goes over here, and then he could drop it the next night or whatever. But you know, the hawker on Vince's face, nobody had ever seen that happen before. And, you know, crazy stuff, man. But I still don't know. And I mean, Scott Hall had always said that he thought it was a work. And
yeah,
which is funny to me, because he knows Sean so well, you know.
Yeah. But I know some people have pretty much debunked it as being a shoot, but man, I'm just the old jaded wrestler in me. Everything's a fucking work, man.
Everything's a work. Yeah.
That's what make your shit live on forever, you know?
Right. Yeah. We'll see, man. So what's your number three, brother?
Oh, we already talked about it. My number three, and I'm just going to tell you, my number two has already been talked about. So, New Jack, Vic Grimes, number three. Superfly Jimmy Snuka jumping off the cage on Morocco, number two. And, you know, I mean, what else can we say about those two things, man? You know?
Yeah, both high bumps.
Yeah.
Both big falls, you know. Yeah. And well, then I mean,
controlled, you know, and the other one wasn't.
One was controlled, and the other one wasn't. You're exactly right. I don't know which is the better landing: landing on Morocco controlled, or landing on. That's it. But yeah, we've talked about it, man. You know, it's funny. We've had listeners ask a lot about the Gypsy Joe New Jack thing. New Jack. You just couldn't tell sometimes, right? Where the, you know, where the real and the work.
That is absolutely true.
Yeah. Well, my number three, I'll just knock out my three and number two at the same time. So number three for me.
You're going to knock out my number one in the process.
I am. That's funny.
I'm thinking. I don't know.
Okay. Well, my number three was the biggest shock I can remember because I never thought it would ever happen. And number three is Vince McMahon buys WCW. And that was just seeing Vince McMahon on Nitro blew my mind. Seeing Shane McMahon on Nitro blew my mind. But then seeing Vince McMahon on Nitro. And it was really crazy watching them both at the same time, flipping back and forth. Now, admittedly, Nitro had gone through some rough times. It was not quite on the same level that it used to be. But when it comes down to it, seeing Vince McMahon on Nitro, that was nuts. And I never, ever thought that he would buy the company, you know?
Yeah, I don't think anybody really did. Maybe, you know, maybe some of the old timers, you know, business type people
over something. Right.
You know, everybody's, I guess we're probably thinking more along Mr. McMahon instead of Vince K. McMahon. But, yeah, man, the thing that I hated about it was when they tried to, you know, he had already bought it and then tried to make it as if it was still competition and the whole ECW that wasn't actually ECW. I was just like, I couldn't get into that.
Yeah.
I don't think, you know, because, I mean, everybody knew it was his. It wasn't competition no more.
Right. Well, you know, so my number two, I think, is probably what I'm considering your number one, if I'm not wrong, if I'm not right on this. So we'll see. But so why don't you go ahead and say your number one, and then I'll see if it's the same thing.
All right. So my number one is it's Mankind, the Undertaker, Hell in a Cell. Mankind gets thrown off the top of the cage. That's the one bump that everybody remembers. But, you know, let's not forget the choke slam through the fucking cage.
Right.
The way he landed. Oh, God.
And, right.
Yeah, that's a long way down to land that fucked up. But that the throw off the cage, man, too, that was crazy off to the table. That was a wild fucking bump that I wouldn't fucking take.
Exactly, man. Dude. Add to this.
I remember another oh my God moment from Cactus Jack. And nobody was doing shit like that, man. I think it was Mil Mascaris he was working. And he drop kicked Jack off the Foley off the apron. And he flat backed it on the pavement. You know?
Yes. Yeah.
And that just, I was like, holy shit. I remember asking my wrestling friend, buddy. I was like, man, did you see that shit?
Yeah. And that was during the Bill Watts time where I think they had taken up the padding all around the ring.
Yeah.
Dude.
Didn't hit no padding.
Yeah. And then he was constantly doing the nasty plunge where he would, you know, I recently saw Mark Briscoe do that on AEW Dynamite. He actually ran and, you know, he would do the run and jump and elbow onto the guy on the pavement. And dude, so that probably move right there has led to some of Mick's issues. But there's no question that Hell in a Cell match probably wrecked him for life. You know, it's one interesting thing that I had heard recently that I didn't know at the time is that all those cages, they were held up with zip ties at the top of the cell. Mm-hmm. And apparently, you know, him and Undertaker are walking around on it. And the, you know, Undertaker, as he's walking on it, he says he can hear those zip ties popping as they're walking. And he's like, this thing's going to go at any minute now.
Thought that zip ties was gonna hold up on all that shit.
I know. I mean, because what was Mick was probably 300, right? Wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
And then Taker with his size was probably a good 300. So yeah. I mean, dude, that's
zip ties are strong, but
Not 600 pounds plus walking around.
They were used a great deal on my Halloween wrestling ring.
So they are the MVPs of your Halloween, you know.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. And I mean, that's a good thing. I've even used them on a weed eater before, but that's a whole other story. But anyway, so yeah, my number two is the same thing, Mankind, Undertaker, Hell in a Cell, 1998 at King of the Ring. And yeah, there's really not a lot more you can say about it. The fact that, you know, Mick's teeth comes out and, like, you know, yeah. I remember them showing it, and then Terry Funk comes out and he's like, hey, this is a shoot, y'all, seriously, let's call this, man. And they still did. They finished the match, and I would say that match did as much for Mick as getting him over as a, you know, a baby face, honestly.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think about it when somebody takes such a beating and that turns out to, it's almost like Ricky Morton. You know what I mean?
In the spot where Mick had, he was handcuffed, put his hands behind his back and taking all the chairs.
Yeah. 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 Are you talking about when The Rock's doing it to him in the head? Yeah.
He's got a long list of things that would suck.
Yeah, can you? I mean, but you know, dude, what's funny is, like, I feel like there was something that was said earlier on in the, you know, like Mick was like, make sure they're bringing it, you know, and The Rock is bringing it. Like, he's he's like Mark McGwire up there hitting home runs, Barry Bonds. He's cranking it on his head, man. And they're unprotected chair shots. Oh, my Lord. Oh, how many concussions? It was just like, I don't know. I'm sure. How many concussions have you had?
I couldn't tell you. I don't know. I don't know what the number would be. I mean,
quite a few.
It depends on, I guess, what you would consider that. I mean, they say just
seeing stars. Yeah.
Again, ramming your head into the turnbuckle. It may not be hard, but it's that sudden stop where your brain goes forward.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's brutal, man. And I don't know, man, I hope that he doesn't end up with some sort of dementia. You know, I know that a lot of those can lead to dementia and things like that later in life. But I do know you can look at Mick now and watch him walk around and see that he's not a pain-free life. Let's just say that. But,
right.
Man. Well, my number one is probably the most markish thing I can say on this whole thing, but it really isn't. I don't think I can top the Mankind Undertaker with this one, but I just remember my brother and I, with my cousin, we watched every WCW pay-per-view because my uncle had one of them cable gimmicks, you know what I'm saying, where you could watch all the free pay-per-views you wanted. Yeah. And it was like they doctored the card or whatever in your satellite box. Yeah. Well, anyway, I miss those days, man. But so the Hulk Hogan heel turn and joining the NWO, I remember, you know, he wasn't in the match. Something should have told us. Sting, Luger, and Macho Man are taking on two guys, and the two guys have the three guys beat, and out comes Hogan, and you think Hogan's coming out to save the day, and boom, leg drop, joins the NWO. Seems like Wonder Bread compared to the Mankind Undertaker match. But I just remember, you know, because, dude, like the Rock and Roll Express, the Road Warriors, you know, really were our babyface tag teams that we loved. And but as far as a single star, all of us were Hogan marks, you know. That, you know, it's funny. I've talked to so many wrestlers about Mount Rushmores and stuff, and most of them put Hogan on there because even if you weren't a fan of him as a kid, the idea of him and what he did for the business, you know, is, as far as getting it to the mainstream, is never going to be topped because he was the first to do it, you know, and then turning heel, you know.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, it's cool. It's just he turned heel and ruined all of that. So that was... It was like, you know, I was probably, let's see, it was, you know, 96. So I was like almost 18 at the time. And it was 18 years of Hogan as the ultimate babyface. And then, boom, it's over. So,
yeah, man, I really hate the fact that, like, you know, here in recent times, he's kind of tarnished his, you know, his image and all that kind of stuff. And some of it, I wonder if he's a fucking liar or if, you know, Hulk's wrestled a long time before he got over. He had wrestled a while.
Yeah.
I mean, he's taken his fair share of fucking bumps and concussions. We were talking about that. I wonder if his memory just doesn't serve him right or if he's just full of shit. I don't know.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean,
bullshit, but that your memory, especially when you have concussions and things like that, even people that don't have them in traumatic situations, even like somebody that witnesses a crime, violent crime or something, their memory may be 100% what they think they saw, but it may not be true. You know?
So. Yeah. Well, like Cornette does whole episodes on Hogan's lies, and Hogan has told some big ones. Like he told the fact that he was going to be player for the Cincinnati Reds. And that was like a Macho Man thing. Yeah. And he also told that he was offered the bass player position for Metallica after Cliff Burton died. I mean, he's told some pretty stiff lies.
Yeah.
But recently he was on Rogan, and I do feel like some of it is his memory, and I do feel like some of it may be the showman in him. So like he's on Joe Rogan. All right. And he's probably thinking, okay, I'm going to feed Joe Rogan, and Joe Rogan represents his listener base. Yeah. He's not realizing that just with him being on it may be something that somebody that's never listened to Rogan before would listen to. So being a Hogan fan or a wrestling fan. Now, it just so happens I listened to Rogan, and I was a Hogan fan, or am a Hogan fan. Hogan, he tells us Hogan and Rogan, that's a new podcast. There it is. But so Hogan says the story. He was talking about wrestling in Puerto Rico, and, you know, he was like, well, it wasn't too many years after that that, you know, a guy took Brody in the shower and slit his throat. Well, we know that Brody didn't get his throat cut. That was not how he died, you know. Right. It was a stab to the abdomen, you know, and he bled out. But he told this story to Rogan, and I almost feel like if it's the worker in him to where he wants to make it more shocking than what it was, you know. Yeah. And I don't know, because we all know that Brody did not die of a throat slit. I mean, that would be well known if that were the way that he died, you know.
Yeah, and,
but man, it's just, I do feel like possibly it is some memory, but I do feel like it's a little bit of the worker, and he sees like where he's at in his life or who he's with, and he's starting to kind of work everyone a little bit. And I wonder what I would love to hear him and Jimmy Hart talk with one another without anyone else around. Do you know what I'm saying? I would love to hear what they talk about. Like, I mean, can you imagine what those conversations are like? I mean,
yeah, be a fly on the wall for those.
Yeah, now,
baby, love you, baby.
Yeah,
love you too, brother.
Love you too, brother. But hey, brother, we really got to screw these dudes over. I need big money for this one, brother. If you know what I'm saying, you know.
But I don't know, man. I love Hogan and I respect him, but at the same time, I either think it's his memory, which we know talking to you, it's funny. Sometimes in the middle of talking about your career, you did it. You were there. You're like, yeah, man. I don't have a clue. I don't remember wrestling Dusty Rhodes. I don't remember this or that. But then a month later, you'll be on the show and be like, hey, man, did you hear this story? And I'm like, bro, I asked you that, and you know, you didn't remember. And you're like, well, I do now. So that it may be memory. It could be traumatic memories. It could be actually him embellishing a little. Or I would hate to say brother's an all-out liar, but, yeah. I mean, the whole idea, you know.
It's possible.
It's possible, yeah. Well, that was it. That was my top number one, oh my God, moment for this list. And yeah, I don't know.
It was a whole good list, I think. You know, we did have some doubles there, but
yeah,
you know, thinking back on some of those things, I swear, if the people that are listening haven't watched some of those, go watch them, man. Or you can find them on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, and, you know, I do have a couple honorable mentions I want to say, and these I just didn't feel like I wanted to put them on the list, and maybe I could have in other places, but obviously the Benoit murder-suicide deal, that was definitely an oh, my God. I remember watching news for like 3 days straight because that's all they were talking about, and they were talking to different guys and these things, and I think that was an oh, my God moment, but not really something I wanted to put my list. And then the other one, obviously, that was horrible, but this one was an oh my God moment in a totally realistic way. And because it was real, was Lawler's heart attack.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was, I mean, I'm sure. Can you remember when you heard about that happening? And then,
yeah,
I'm sure you were texting and everybody was texting you. And, you know, what did you do when you heard about it? Who told you about it? Do you remember?
Man, I don't remember. I know that I had quite a few conversations after he had it with Stacy Carter. She was kind of keeping me informed. But yeah, I don't remember who told me initially what had happened.
Yeah. Yeah. That was pretty, oh my God, though. Cause,
yeah. And there's a couple, there's a couple other things I thought about putting on. One of them was just the first time, and I'm pretty sure it was on Memphis TV, the first time I ever saw Scott Steiner do the Frankensteiner.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that popped me big.
Yeah.
That's a cool move right there. Dude. Also, the ladder matches from the Attitude Era. Now, mostly the Hardys and Edge, and then fuckers took some crazy fucking bumps, man.
Dude, that spear that Edge did, man, wow. Yeah, yeah. You know, speaking about Scott Steiner, so I recently had Tommy Angel on the Give Me Back My Pro Wrestling podcast, and everybody knows who Tommy Angel is if you watched any kind of, you know, if you paid attention to any of the enhancement talent from that time, you know who Tommy Angel is. Well, Tommy Angel tells the story that Scott Steiner's coming in, and he works his first match in Crockett with Tommy Angel. Well, they come to the back, and Dusty's like, "That's the shits." That was the shits. And Tommy does a good Dusty Rhodes. Well, he says, "I need you to go to Memphis and learn how to work." And then so Scott went to Memphis and actually got better and then came back. So that's funny that that's where, you know, that's where he went to learn how to do it. You know what I mean? And you're right. He got bigger there. And then he also did the Frankensteiner. I mean, and then he turned into a megastar, you know, but anyway, that it's just funny that it was, you know, he went to Memphis to learn how to do this business, you know, so
no better place to learn.
No better place. Well, yeah, that's it for the oh my God moments, man. So do you by chance feel like oh my God-ing a couple of questions that we may have from the listeners?
Oh my God, I guess.
All right. Well, we'll be right back with Ask Wolfie Anything.
DJ. Oh my God.
DJ, hit the music. All right, we are back with Ask Wolfie D Anything. And Wolfie, you know, we had a great show, top 10 Oh My God moments. I hope the listeners enjoyed it as much as we did making it. Mm-hmm. We got a few questions here from the listener base, and I will ask them and see what you think here. So number one, first question is from Dustin Phillips, and I believe he was Slacker J, if I'm not mistaken.
The old slacker.
He says, "Hey, Wolf, my mentor, I want you to speak about what you thought about Belladonna, a.k.a. Roxanne, and what you thought about her being a part of the new church and how you feel about how she pulled off her character in the church, as well as how you think she did in the program with AMW and all of the sick bumps she took during it. Please be honest on what your opinion of her character and her execution. Just wanted to hear what you have to say. No pressure, just if you have time. Love you, my friend, my mentor, and teacher, Wolfie D."
Oh, Slacker J. I know that I've talked about this before, that I loved her being in it. I loved it.
Yeah.
She added to it.
I mean, right.
No doubt about it. She added to it. I thought we looked like a better group as opposed to just me, Brian, and Jim. Not that that didn't look good, but to have her with us and just the bumps and all that. I mean, she was always where she was supposed to be and all that. She played that character pretty well.
Yeah.
Real well. And just like me and her didn't talk about that spot where we won the belts and I'm bleeding and she comes down there and, you know, grabs the blood off my head and starts rubbing it on her chest. And, you know, we didn't talk about that. She was dead.
Right.
And cool.
Yeah.
Stuff like that makes, you know, just adds to it. Like, these fuckers are sick.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah, Slacker, man. You know I was a big fan of hers. So that's that. Yeah, man. She added to the church. I hated it when they got rid of her. So
yeah, that's true. But you know, when I asked you at one point, I was like, okay, in your mind, who is the new church? You know, obviously yep. You had Sin, you had Flash, yep. You had Crowbar, you had all these other guys, The Wall, Jerry, you know, Malice. But in your mind, it was you, Brian, her and Jim, and that was your crew.
That was my favorite part, and yeah. That's not on nobody else. It just that's the one that was being pushed, and it was you know, we had more opportunity in that, and I liked it.
Yeah, I like it too. Yeah, so all right, that's a thank you, Slacker J, for asking that question. We definitely appreciate it. So the next one, this one's interesting because we've talked about this a little bit before, I think, with some other of our guests. But so this is Ryan Samsquanch, and that's the real name, Ryan Samsquanch from Facebook. Okay,
how do you spell that?
Well, what it is it's from Trailer Park Boys. Have you ever watched that show?
I've never seen it.
Well, they're Canadian guys and they live in a trailer park. It's a hilarious show, honestly. I love it. And that's what he calls Sasquatch. The guy with the glasses and the funny face, Bubbles, that's what he calls Bigfoot or Samsquanch. It's a Samsquanch. Anyway, so Ryan Samsquanch on Facebook says this. He says, thoughts on the wrestling commissions being strict on blood?
I've said that. Yeah. Ian Rotten fucked that up. And then also, man, I mean, let's be honest here. I have bled with dudes that I probably wish I would have known better. Not to say that I've ever contracted anything. I know what's happened to others. But man, if you're going to do it, this day and age, I would say that, yeah, I mean, it needs to be regulated. The boys need to be, you know, tested and shit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and I'm one that's sitting here with a whole bunch of scars on my head because I bled a lot.
Right. So, right.
That was then.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, dude, let's be honest. Okay. So I feel like you probably tried to bleed when it made sense and possibly sometimes a little more, but also mostly you tried to make at least, hey, this means something, you know?
But yeah, but for also the fact that, you know, you're working those towns doing the loop, and this match has to coincide with what's on TV every single night. Right. So if we're doing something where I got to bleed, I got to do it in every town.
Yeah, the loop. You're bleeding through the loop. And, yeah. You know,
and your head gets fucking sore, bro.
Oh, I bet, man. Oh my god, bro. Did you ever deal with like any infections or anything?
No,
that's good.
Yeah. No, but I mean, it would be to the point where, okay, I bled last night. I got to be careful with this so that it, you know, doesn't bleed before I want it to, or, you know, because it's pretty easy to bust it back open when you're, you know, your heart rate's up and, you know, you're bouncing around. Or if I needed to bleed and, you know, had just bled a day or two, maybe I'd just tell somebody to punch me in it.
Yeah.
Pop it open.
Open it up. Yeah. I remember like it was yesterday reading this dirt sheets. This was like when the internet, you had to turn the internet on and it was ging, 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 you know, that noise. Yeah. And it wake up the whole house. That was horrible, you know, trying to download pictures of Sunny at 2 a.m. when your mom and dad were asleep and stuff. But anyway, so the parts about that is that I remember reading the dirt sheets at that time. I was very into the dirt sheets. And I can't remember if Dave Meltzer or Wade Keller, one of those dudes, reported this, but that Sabu did some sort of surgery to make his forehead bleed easier to wear now. And that makes no sense now. No. What that is dude cuts himself so much that basically what you just said, you can punch him and he'll bleed. So it looks like a hard way, but really it's just opening up an old wound. And I would assume that if you do that enough, there is some sort of thinning of the skin up there because you're, you know, and also there probably is some scar tissue too with him. Mm-hmm. But anyway,
The skin can get thin on some of those. Like, I remember Captain Lou, man. I met him in WWF, and I know now that I think he was working me, but I just kind of laughed and said, "Oh, really? Okay." But he said something like, "I don't know." It was like, "How you doing?" "Oh, I'm doing all right." Whatever, and said something about, "I just had my head sanded, get the scars off," and I believed it, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
How would he say that out of nowhere? You know, I mean, we weren't talking about his head, even though it did, like it was discolored and like a lighter color than the skin around it. So
right. Right.
Okay, it does look like it got sanded or something.
Yeah.
I don't think he went and had that procedure done.
No. It was also like the theory that, you know, because I think, what's his name? Freddie Blassie would have his teeth sharpened, but it was really, I think, dentures or something that he would sharpen with a file and stuff. And anyway, so, you know, we're thinking, oh my God, how could you do that to your teeth? Are you that crazy? You know, but. Yeah, some crazy stuff. But if you look at Ric Flair's forehead, there are some lighter spots there that have changed color, even though he tans, you know, he can't get that dark. So,
right.
But anyway, yeah, the art of the juice. So, okay, so the last one, and this is interesting because you have talked about this a little bit, but maybe he's got a different angle on this. So this is our final question of the day, and this is Kyle Vaughn from Facebook, and he says, ask Wolfie what happened with that Leia Hulan woman who used to sponsor a lot of pro wrestling, and then her and Chase started the Arcadian Wrestling Association and hyped it up in the area, brought in decent talent, but only had 4 to 5 shows and then didn't run anymore. I just thought it was always weird that she spent so much money for so many years sponsoring local shows, then she runs 4 to 5 that you can tell she tried to put some money into, only to kind of get out really quick and not have anything to do with local pro wrestling at all anymore. What was the story there?
I mean, plain and simple, without fucking burying people, she was not faithful to her husband, and she was partying a lot, and that's what happened.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. So I check and check. Yeah.
It may not be, when I say, you know, not to bury anybody, it quite frankly could be a number of people.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
I'm not one of them, but
right.
You know, right. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. That was a good thing, man. But it was you can't run a company like that when everybody's partying, you know?
Yeah. Just can't. Yeah, that makes sense. And then you probably worked all those shows, didn't you? I'm sure.
I worked most of them. I actually booked some of it until Chase and I had a falling out. And also my elbow, when I tore my elbow, that was there for them.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And, but yeah, then we had a falling out over disagreement, and, you know, we didn't talk for a while. So,
yeah.
But yeah, that's what I have heard happened.
Quick question, not that you maybe know or not. Is she still with her husband that she was married to?
I feel like I heard they got divorced.
Gotcha. Okay. But maybe he put his foot down and said no more. And so she stopped, she chilled out. And then that's what caused her to stop messing with wrestling. Cause dude, I remember I worked for Saw, and all the time you can see stickers and koozies, and she would drop by and have grumpy Bell Bond stuff. And So that's
it. Money into it, man. But
yeah,
it's just one of those things that happens, man. I've seen it a billion times, you know.
Right.
Comes in, wants to start a wrestling company, they start out good, then they stop listening.
Yeah. It's like, maybe listen to the people. And I've seen that from you before. I've seen you say something like, I don't understand why he's wanting me to do this, because it's, you know, I kind of know what I'm doing. Yeah, I've heard you say that. Like, and I don't know what it was about or why it was what you said or whatever, but I remember you were a little hot about, like, you know, man, I know what I'm doing. I don't know really what is the deal here. Why is he wanting me to do this? But I couldn't tell you what it was about. It might have been something just small that just annoyed you. But anyway, yeah. I think
get annoyed. No.
Yeah, you get annoyed about somebody booking and wrestling. I can never see that. But anyway, yeah, thank you, Kyle, for that question. Thank all of our listeners for those awesome questions. Definitely appreciate you, Sam Squanch. Appreciate you, Slacker J. And you know, Brian Turner, he always puts over Slacker J. I don't know Slacker that well. I don't know if I've ever met him. Yeah, I know you like him, and he's a good kid. But I just don't think I ever got to meet him. I think he had gotten out of the business by the time I got in. So anyway, though, thank you all. Awesome questions. We definitely appreciate it. Thank you all for listening to the top 10 Oh My God moments, right? That's awesome.
Yeah, that was a fun show.
Yeah, I like these top 10s, especially when it's about a good topic, you know. Yeah. And sometimes we don't want to do, you know, there's some ideas out there that, let me just put this to rest, okay? A lot of you, I sent out a thing about top 10, you know, like, give us some top 10s that you want us to cover. And there are some great ones that y'all ask for. Mm-hmm. Some of them, love y'all to death. Thank you for listening. But like greatest 70s cage matches, you know, I don't know that Wolfie and I are the best people for that one. You know what I'm saying? But just because, here's the thing. Like, I was born in 78. You were what, like 75? Is that 73? I was trying to make you younger, Wolfie. Come on. Anyway.
50, Jimmy, in a month.
You're going to be 50 in a month, and we'll have to celebrate that. But here's the thing. I don't remember watching a ton of 70s wrestling. Now, I did later on, but as far as it was like hits and misses, it wasn't like me sitting down and watching an entire run of something. So to be able to give you the greatest cage matches of the 70s, I just don't know if that's our wheelhouse, right? I mean, am I wrong?
Yeah. Oh, you're absolutely right.
I mean, we require a lot of backstage work, right? So
research and yeah.
Yeah. So in theory, we thank you for asking us to do those shows and thank you for entrusting us with that idea. But when it comes down to it, some of those really super duper specific top 10s, that's just kind of difficult.
Yeah.
All due respect. And you know, now we can talk about pretty much anything from 80 on to now. I mean,
right.
But not even now. I don't really, we've kind of made that decision too. We don't really want to talk current stuff either. But
yeah, everybody, every podcast does that.
It does. And to be that guy, I got to ask you one more time, because we talked about it with the little dirty white boy, but have you heard all this stuff about Father Jim? And then, you know, obviously you sent me a text of the message you sent back with him, but apparently the deal was that Billy asked him to do it. And yeah. So, you know, now whoever idea it was at the start, and then he got the okay from Billy to do it, that's one thing. Yeah. But now that WWE, apparently their NXT show is going to be on CW. And so a lot of people are feeling that Jim Mitchell spot on a pay-per-view costs the CW and NWA working.
Who knows? I was blown away by it. No pun intended. but I just, I'm like, holy cow, man. You know, I partied back in the day. That's no fucking secret.
Right.
But to have it on pay-per-view, I just was like, oh my God.
I know.
This is kind of crossing the line, I think.
Yeah.
It reminds me of a funny story. If you want to say something else about this, you can, but I got a really good story here.
No, I was just saying, is it too, like, it's too reality-based, almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Jim also said, who says it was cocaine? That's what he said to me, right?
Right. I think everybody says it's cocaine, Jim. So,
now, listen, what people that I talk about do today, nowadays, I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
We all
partying back then. That's, again, no secret.
Right. And,
ECW at the hotel, and Tommy Rich had, like, called me from another room asking me if I had any.
Okay.
And I'm like, nah, I don't. And I didn't.
Right.
I might have been out or something like that, but right. I didn't have any.
Like, there was a reason he would ask, but at the same time, right, I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe he was out. But
right. So right.
I kept telling him no. He swore I was lying to him. And I go, okay, Tommy, come on. Come on up here. So while he's on the way to the room, I had a bag or a bottle of creatine in my fucking wrestling bag, and I got it out and I dumped some of it on the table and I cut it up into lines before he got to the room.
Oh, man. Oh.
The ending to the story, though, I just didn't, I don't know if I want to say I didn't have the balls to go through with it, but he got down there. Thank you. Thank you. I let him get almost.
Oh, salivating,
yeah,
excited.
I go, don't, man, it's not real. What the fuck are you talking about? It's not real. It's fucking creatine. No, it ain't, God. Then it wasn't.
Right.
It was still cocaine.
Right. It still was. Yeah. Oh, bro.
But yeah, once that, he was pissed.
Yeah.
I bet. Imagine how mad he would have been if I'd have let him do it.
Right. You know, yeah, because sometimes if you're excited about anything, it's like a movie. Like, I'm really excited to see this upcoming movie coming out. They play a trailer, and part of it's the anticipation. And then when it's happening, it's like, okay, you're not as excited because you're getting it, you know? But the lead up to whatever you're about to do, sometimes it's the anticipation is a whole other high. Yeah. You know, and so he's fiending. He's like, Wolfie, you got something for old Wolfar, you know? And anyway, man, that's, well, hey, it shows that you're a real one for not letting him actually do it.
Right.
But
only because I didn't know what it would do to him.
Right. It would have probably burnt really bad. I don't know. I've never done anything like that in my life, kids. Anyway, horrible, but that's funny. And you've never told that story. That's actually a very original story. So I'm glad I was going to end the show, but I said, man, I want to talk that Jim Mitchell thing. And
yeah.
That's a great story. Thanks, Wolfie. That was awesome. So, yeah, you got 4 questions out of us today, kids.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's really all I got now, Wolf, I promise. Well,
all righty then. That ended with an oh my God story.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
God, let's take it to the his house.
Let's go. All right. Well, thank y'all so much for listening to Live and in Color with who?
With Wolfie D.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Give Me Back My Pro Wrestling, the podcast that's based on the old school but can still help you find the good stuff from today. Jimmy Street and the plastic chic Jared are the undisputed tag team champions of the wrestling podcast world. From thought-provoking topics to superstar interviews to action figure expertise, this team does it all. And all they ask is, give me back my pro wrestling! Every other Thursday, wherever you listen to podcasts.
That's right, it's the talk of Middle Tennessee, the channel you love to hate and the channel you hate to love. It's Brian Turner from Brian Turner's VHS Rehab. And if you're looking for matches from Wolfie D to Jerry Lawler to Dusty Rhodes and the team that put a pimp before your eyes and a goatee between your thighs, Boudicca and Athena, go to LostWrestling.com. See, I made it easy for you. Brian Turner's VHS Rehab. Booyah!
Join me, Gene Jackson, for the Jackson Interaction Podcast, where I'll be doing one-on-one interviews with people from the world of professional wrestling, as well as stand-up comedy. You can get them anywhere podcasts are available in both video and audio form, but you can find them all at GeneJacksonPod.com.
Hey, 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 it's the Heat Miser Scotty Blaze, and I'm inviting all of y'all to join me on my brand new podcast, Turning Up the Heat with the Heat Miser Scotty Blaze. What are you waiting for? Come on over and join me. I'll be covering all the events of the day, global, national, pop culture, movies, gaming, whatever sounds interesting. But I'll also be playing some awesome skating shuffle music from the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s. Anything that has a good beat, I'm going to be playing it. You can rest assured. Come on over, tuthradio.com. The podcast is on every major podcast platform. See you then.
This is your rock star ring announcer, Aaron Camaro. I'm a man who believes the two greatest art forms ever created are professional wrestling and heavy rock music. So when I'm not hosting the best parties that also happen to be live professional wrestling shows, I'm hosting the Decibel Geek Podcast. Decibel Geek is a weekly podcast that features discussions of all things rock. We're talking the Beatles, the Stones, Led Zeppelin, Jimi Hendrix, Black Sabbath, Kiss, Ozzy, Motley Crue, Guns N' Roses, Metallica, Alice in Chains, Pantera, and everything in between. Plus, we'll turn you on to new bands from today that have the same spirit and style that the legends do. Decibel Geek is hosted by myself along with Rockin' Pod founder Chris Sinzak, and each week you'll get interviews with famous musicians and industry insiders along with informative, entertaining, humorous, and insightful discussions, and most importantly, a passion for the music. So if you love to rock out as much as I do, then this is your invitation to the greatest rock and roll party in all of podcasting. It's Decibel Geek, and it's available right now on all major podcast platforms. Oh yeah.
So that was another great episode. Hey, Wolfie, tell them where they can find you on social media.
Jimmy, they can find me in the club, bottle full of bub. I'm just kidding. They can find me on Facebook. My personal page is Warren Wolf, W-O-L-F-E. I'm on Instagram, at WarrenWolf13.
You can always find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, at LiveWolfieD. Here's the thing. Wolfie always has offers for his autographed photos. He has a selection of some awesome photos from throughout his career that he will autograph and personalize any way that you want him to. Just contact him either directly at his personal Facebook page or through any one of our other pages, and we'll make sure you get in contact directly with Wolfie. Get those photos, right, Wolfie?
Yeah, I've got some good stuff on there, you know, to help with the podcast.
Folks, if you can't get out to a show to meet Wolfie D, there's nothing like that, especially for the fans of PG-13 and Wolfie D. And before we go, you can always find me, your host, Jimmy Street, at James Rock Street on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
And hey, Jimmy, before we go real quick, I just want to add in there, from the bottom of my heart, I really appreciate, first of all, the work you've done for this podcast. You have worked your butt off. Secondly, the people that are liking the page. Beyond that, even more, is the people that are listening. And we really appreciate that.
Yeah, and remember, guys, the podcast drops a new episode every Monday at noon, and our past episodes are streaming now on demand on all major podcast formats. Thanks again.
I got a cap for your dome.
He got a cap for your dome.
I got a cap for your dome.
He got a cap for your dome.
He
got a cap for your dome.
And here we go. The original white boy that came out sagging, not bragging. Don't be hating, cause I'm spitting the truth. Still livin' in color. From Rush, your mother. Utilize a hubcap unlike any other. Back in the day, I was N.O.D. and I was P to the G plus the 1 and the 3. In case you forgot, they call me Wolfie D. Been cloned and copied so many times. Tired of suckers taking credit for what is mine. You know who you are without me name dropping. Wrestling's first white boy coming out hip hop. Been doing it like this since 92. Laid low for a while and you thought I was through. Listen real close to these rhymes that I've injected. This shit's so sick it makes your ears get infected. Mad skills, no faking, there is no one great. Cause I'm bringing more folks from Obi-Wan or Vader. Not here to play games, so you better beware. You don't like me, so what?
I really don't care.
Like time I keep ticking and I can't be stopped. You suck a step to the side unless you wanna get dropped. When I finish, I'll straight knock you out. Please allow me to tell you what it's all about. I'm gonna wind it up, then I'm driving it home. It's Wolfie D, baby. Huh. I got a cap for your dome.
You got a cap for your dome.
You got a cap for your dome.
You got a cap for your dome.
This has been a James Rock Street production.